This is Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz with Maine Public's chief political reporter, Steve Missler, and senior political reporter, Mal Leary. On this week's Pulse, we focus on the Republican primary in the 2nd Congressional District. It's the largest district east of the Mississippi, reaching from Lewiston and Auburn northeastward to Presque Isle and Fort Kent. Historically, it has leaned conservative. It voted for Donald Trump in 2016. But it was represented for years by a Democrat, Mike Michaud, and Democrat Jared Golden won back the seat from the GOP in 2018. The race to challenge Golden has drawn three Republicans. Steve Missler, who are they?
Well, Erwin, it's an interesting slate of candidates, although not terribly well-known, I think, outside of political circles. Perhaps the best-known is of the three is Eric Brakey, a former two-term state senator who ran for the U.S. Senate in 2018. And was soundly defeated in a three-way contest by independent Angus King. Brakey has tried to remain in the public arena since then, showing up at various conservative rallies and testifying on bills in the legislature. And he's of the libertarian mold, once sponsoring a bill to repeal Maine's seatbelt law, getting rid of permits to carry a concealed handgun, and expanding access to medical marijuana. And he was also part of the libertarian takeover of the GOP state convention in 2012, which was quite an event. That was the year that Mitt Romney was the front runner for the presidential nomination, but libertarian darling Ron Paul was still trying to make a play. And Eric Brakey and a bunch of Ron Paul supporters were part of that effort on the Maine state level. Interestingly, it was Brakey's support for Rand Paul in 2016 that got him on the wrong side of the MAGA Trump crowd. So he's basically spent the last 3+ years trying to convince Republican voters that he's fully on board with Trump now. You also have Dale Crafts, a businessman from Lisbon who served in the Maine House for several terms. He's an evangelical Christian and appears to be plugged into a voting bloc that is routinely punched above its weight in Maine elections. And he's also won the endorsements of fellow legislators and former Governor Paul LePage, who endorsed him very early in the contest. And that was not so welcomed by the third Republican challenger, Adrian Bennett. Adrian was LePage's press secretary for most of his 8 years in office, so she certainly has experience in crisis communications because she often had to defend the governor for his well-documented assortment of divisive comments and conduct. She was also a former reporter for WABI in Bangor, and now she's billing herself as an example of the classic conservative bootstrap story, you know, someone who grew up very poor only to find some success later in life.
The three candidates debated recently on WMTW television.
Donald Trump is not a perfect person, but he's the man fighting for our country right now. And I've got his back because he's up against some very bad people in our government.
I'm going to take my work ethic to Washington, D.C. and fight for Mainers, fight for the America First agenda with President Trump.
I am going to partner alongside President Trump. President Trump has already proven that he is very capable of growing the economy.
As a candidate who has backed President Trump since day one, he needs allies in Congress. We need people supporting our president because he is trying to unite us and to make us the greatest nation that we can be.
President Trump is trying to put America first and bring our troops home and end these endless wars.
Mal, can you remember a congressional primary that was so focused on showing fealty to the president of the same party?
In a word, no. For the congressional level, we have never really seen this, particularly with someone at the presidential level. In the past, you might have someone saying, well, they're really not supportive of our senator. But of course, there's been nothing like Donald Trump either.
Usually the only time you hear congressional candidates talk about the president is when the president is from the opposition party. You know, that's because doing so can have a bit of a rallying effect during a party nomination contest, particularly if that president is lagging in popularity, which Trump certainly is. So that's why it's so striking to watch these congressional candidates genuflecting to their president, essentially the central part of their campaign. And it really is. I mean, there's not much policy daylight between these three candidates. And, you know, I don't know that I've ever really seen it before, but at the same time, the president's most ardent supporters don't seem too affixed to any particular ideology, but they do seem to worship the president, which would explain why he can't seem to do anything wrong in the eyes of his supporters, even if some of his policy decisions cause them some pain. I'm thinking of the trade war with China specifically here. Mainers have seen this before, Erwin, and that was with Paul LePage, who had a similar type of commitment from his supporters.
You mentioned LePage. He's the other political figure who factors into this. Now, he's recently started appearing on campaign ads for Dale Crafts, you know, which raises the question, Mal, why isn't he behind his former press secretary, Adrian Bennett?
To quote him in an op-ed that he wrote for the Bangor Daily News, he doesn't think she has the experience. I guess the experience of being spokesman for him is not the same as being someone in a policy position making decisions on their own. I mean, I'm extrapolating a bit there from what LePage said, but he clearly believes that Crafts is a businessman in his mold, and that is why he is supporting him. He has criticized Eric Brakey, saying the guy's never had a job, let alone run a business. So what's interesting is he says he still likes Adrian Bennett, and Bennett still says, oh, the governor and I are still good friends. So you have this very weird situation there. We haven't seen much polling data on this race, but what we have seen shows a huge undecided. And I think that goes to the fact that Republicans are trying to figure out, do we support somebody here who's in lockstep with the president and is going to be supported by Trump and endorsed by Trump? Or do we try to find somebody that could beat Jared Golden? And that means taking some positions different from those that the president has taken.
Steve, is a LePage endorsement worth a lot in this kind of race?
I'm not sure, Erwin, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it's worth something for sure. I want to go back real quick to that op-ed that Mal referenced, which LePage not only questioned Adrian's experience, but temperament, which I thought was an interesting comment coming from the governor. I mean, LePage certainly hasn't batted 1,000 in the endorsement arena since leaving office. If you recall, he backed Sean Moody's run for governor in 2018, and Moody lost, you know, pretty decisively. And LePage also backed Eric Brakey in his Senate run against Angus King that very same year, and that didn't turn out so well. In fact, I think LePage's endorsement of Brakey might give us some clues about why endorsements from populist figures like LePage don't always transfer to other candidates. And it seems to be about charisma or duende. I mean, say what you will about LePage, but he had both of those characteristics in spades, and he knew it. LePage's endorsement of Brakey was a classic example, and it happened the day before the election, right outside of the State House here. I know because I had to cover it. You know, LePage came out, he endorsed Brakey, said all the right things. Then he started taking questions from reporters. And the next thing you know, Brakey is falling into the background as LePage holds court and waxes on about his plans to move to Florida. And I have a photo from that press conference, and you could almost see Brakey's soul leave his body as it became clear that LePage's future plans had basically become the story of the day and not Brakey's endorsement by the governor. So there's obviously limits, even pitfalls, of getting an endorsement from someone like LePage or Trump for that matter. I mean, Trump hasn't batted 1,000 with his congressional endorsements either.
So Mal, you mentioned the high level of undecideds in this race. Do we know who appears to be ahead?
Well, the problem is that the only survey that I've seen was done for the Bennett campaign. And the problem is the size of it was so small that the margin of error was kind of large, which meant that any one of the three could have been leading or, you know, doing very poorly. But the one clear factor out of it was a number of people are simply undecided. The Republicans have to decide who it is they're trying to nominate here. Are they trying to move lockstep with someone that's going to fully endorse Donald Trump and work with him should he be reelected? Or do they want someone who has a better chance of knocking off Jared Golden? So that's what's going to play out here in this primary. And I haven't, for the foggiest, the best idea of who of those three is going to end up winning. And of course, the decision will be decided quite possibly by ranked choice. So we could end up with the person who runs first of the first round not getting the nomination.
What I have seen, and I think Mal has had the same observation because we've talked about it before, is that it seems as though Crafts and Adrian Bennett are really teaming up on Brakey, which suggests that he might be ahead in some internal polls or something. Because I don't really see much interaction or attacking going on between Adrian and Dale Craft. there seems to be a detente there or whatever. And if there's ranked choice voting, that would actually make some sense, because if there's a runoff and they have, if they're not attacking one another, then that could benefit both of them. You know, that's all we really can go by, is how the candidates are interacting with one another. And what we've seen so far is that Brakey has, I think, taken the brunt of the negative attacks.
So to win, what kinds of Republican voters will each of these candidates need to attract?
Well, that's an interesting question, Erwin, because, you know, we don't know who's going to be turning out in this Republican primary. There's no top of the ticket statewide primary. Susan Collins is unopposed. So there's nothing else that's going to draw these folks except these candidates themselves. Now, let's face it, with the pandemic cutting back on traditional campaigning, no state convention, which would have given some indication of organizational abilities of these three candidates, occurred because of the pandemic. So who bothers to turn out, as it always is in a primary, are the ones who are going to determine who gets the nomination. And I don't think we have any real good idea of who's going to turn out in this Republican primary. Obviously, there's going to be some Trump supporters that turn out. They always are. But there's going to be this moderate group that is worried more about Senator Collins and her reelection, and who would be stronger in the second district running of those three candidates that could provide some help to her. So we're getting into a very sophisticated level here of how some Republican voters will be looking at this, not so much about the three candidates, but how they could help or hurt the top of the ticket.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all three of them are trying to appeal to certain subsects of the conservative base. I mean, all three are touting their support for the Second Amendment. Eric Brakey's made a big deal about that because he, again, helped get the repeal of permits for concealed carry. You know, that was a big thing that he likes to talk about. And I think he's also garnered some support from gun rights advocates because of that. That might be one of the reasons why he's done well in the past, or at least had some support in the past. I mean, when you go to his events, there's a lot of gun rights supporters there. I mean, a lot of, and these folks are libertarian by nature. And I also think that he still has, still running on a bit of the vapors, if you will, of the Ron Paul movement. I mean, that movement still exists, and especially in a state like Maine, there's still, you know, a strong libertarian streak here. Kraft seems to be appealing to the traditional business types, you know, the people who very much value business experience, you know, they like that in their political leaders. And of course, Dale Kraft, he identifies as a evangelical Christian, which again, I mean, that is a very powerful voting block in this state. And so he has that on his side. And Adrienne Bennett is a bit different. I mean, I think she's trying to get all those same groups, but she's also going into this other arena. These are like diehard MAGA crowd. And that has won her some affection from some far right fringes of the party. It's such a mishmash. And Mal's point about turnout is the correct one, because this is the high profile ticket. This is the second district, and that's it. You know, there's not much else to draw people out on July 14th.
And this is such a different election. We've got this incredible number of people voting absentee. Literally, the latest numbers I've got for the Secretary of State show about 50,000 people have already voted. The requests are approaching the same number of requests as we had in the presidential election. That's an awful lot of people voting in July.
Mal, Steve, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senior political correspondent Mal Leary and chief political correspondent Steve Missler. And that's Maine's Political Pulse for this week. The podcast is updated each Friday afternoon. Most of it airs during Weekend Edition Sunday, and you can catch an excerpt each Monday on Morning Edition. Willis Ryder Arnold is our producer. Music is by Rob Holt. I'm Erwin Gratz. Join us again next week.